That's right. We are back. The Parish of the Patriots coming your way once again. That's right. Time to gather up the congregation. If you're new around these parts, we do have a Christian-specific sermon about halfway through the show. You probably want to stick around for that. Whether you're a Christian believer or not, you'll probably get something out of it. Glad you joined us this week. We're going to, as always, we got a lot to discuss, so we're not going to dilly-dally around. The show is financially supported by you, the listener. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. If you want to be a part of that, look down at the bottom of the description page. We got Snail Mail. We got Bitcoin. You got Monero. You got a weirdo cryptocurrency. Drop me an email address for that. I'll do my best to get you an address for that. Drop me a note. Always good to hear from you. Speaking of notes, let's jump right into the listener supporter mailbag. Mr. T, who is like a deacon here. That's right, Mr. T, Deacon T. Parish of the Patriots. GPT, greetings from Clown World. Yes. And I'm still in like Clown World burnout mode. You know, I had that going last week. It hasn't subsided because the clown hasn't subsided. It's just never ending. This for Matt, including $50 for Sven, $20 for me, and very much appreciate. I'll be sure and forward that to the network. Always appreciated. Triangle Whip, GPD, what is worse, Clown World / communism or Sharia law? Absolutely. I didn't even have to think about it. You know, some of these things, I read these notes from the listeners and I sit there and it's like, ooh, let me ponder this for a moment. This I didn't even have to ponder. Clown World communism is much worse than Sharia law. I mean, aside from some of the technical aspects of it, Sharia law can be pretty based, you know. I mean, it's not really that far off from our basic white people traditionalism of the past. I mean, yes, we didn't ever make women walk around with bags on their head. That's kind of an extreme version. But we're at the other extreme. You look at Sharia law and you're like, man, Sharia law, that's pretty extreme. But it's only extreme on the one side of the spectrum. Then we're over here with, you know, your pride parade and child trannies. I mean, it's an easy call. Let's see what we got here. This is from Tony. Dan, still listening and liking the show. And I'm glad. Thank you very much. I like your perspective on the issues of today. I'll have a thought. And when I hear your thought on a matter, I put them together and get a clearer picture. And I'm going to stop there for just a minute. And, you know, that's good to hear because that's really the idea of the show. You know, I really, when I do these shows, the idea is a lot of this stuff, it may just seem like me rambling, but I'm not simply rambling. I'm thinking out loud. And I'll, after finishing the show, I'll continue to think about these things. And later on, sometimes I'll be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I wish I would have got that in on the show. I just keep thinking. And my idea is that y'all are doing the same. You know, you're supposed to continue. I'm hoping at least that this stuff will be insightful enough that you'll continue thinking about it later on and put your own thoughts together. Getting prepared, continuing with our note here, getting prepared the best I can for Doom Flu 2. I've been seeing that they're trying to ban and criminalize critics of the jab. My defense will be based on the Bible. Sorceries found in Revelations 18:23 is pharmacy in Greek. Sorcery is also a form of witchcraft, which is forbidden. That and the ingredients are unclean from what I have heard. This is the only exemption that is working in spots. I know that many places will not accept this reason, but tough. I don't need to criticize the jab to take a stand against it. We will see what happens when the dust clears, your brother in Christ, Tony, and very much appreciate it. And I think what's important is just to resist. I'm going to get into that here. I'm not going to launch off into that yet. We'll go ahead and get on through the listener supporter mailbag. We're going to get into resisting this thing, what this means, because, you know, we had Biden come out with his running out of patience speech. And now you got Republican politicians running around talking about resisting this, and they're full of shit as they usually are. And we're going to get into that here in a minute, but I got one more listener supporter letter, and then we'll just kind of ease off in, just segue off into the rest of the show. This from Jay. Here in my neck of the woods, the provincial government is starting to implement more COVID measures. Imagine that. There's never less COVID measures, are there? We always just get more. It's almost like all of our freedoms no longer exist. After a relatively normal summer, now they've suddenly brought in mask mandates for indoor arenas, and there is talk of a vaccine passport soon. This is really going to separate the wheat from the chaff, so as to speak. I have so far not complied with the indoor mask mandate, and am often the only one in the store without one. When someone reminds me about it, I tell them truthfully that I can't wear one, quote unquote, because the act of wearing it means that you're already submitting to the law. I don't know if I'll always be able to defy the bastards, but it is something I can do, and I believe that God will watch over his true believers and those who strive to carry his message. I'll give an amen to that. God bless you, Gramps, and thank you again for all you do to help keep us inspired. And Noah, thank you. Y'all, believe me, y'all inspire me. Y'all don't know how many days I just, like I say, I've been talking about, I've been like clown wool burnout. Y'all, there are days I'm just like, I am just so ready for this whole shit show to just burn down. The master step, man. At this point, everybody's either donned the mask or they haven't. And if you resisted the mask, you're going to be more able to resist the vaccine. The mask was the early on. The vaccine is the big line in the sand for me. I mean, I've not done the mask thing either, but that makes it easier to not resist the vaccine. If you gave in to the masks, then it's not as near or far a leap to get you to go along with the vaccine, especially as they make these things more and more, shall we say, inconvenient. But as we saw Biden come out with his patience is running out, wearing thin on the unvaccinated. They're ratcheting up. And I've been saying this for a while, and y'all know. I mean, I consider, look, sometimes I'll say things. I mean, this is a good thing. I'm wanting to get this in at some point in the show, so we might as well get it in now. And I'll say some things during the show, like you people, or if people, look, if you're listening to the show, I assume you've got some sense. I'm not talking down to y'all. I'm just talking to the world in general. Like I said earlier, we're kind of thinking out loud. And if I say something like you people or the people or people or just, you know, people in general, I'm not insulting the audience. That's not my intention. I don't think y'all are a bunch of morons. So don't go thinking that. This just, you know, the show is out into the world. So we're addressing in generalities here. But we've been saying for a while now that they put all the carrots out there. They've done everything to get you. And I'm just so creeped out. I'm so creeped out by the way they're so determined to get everybody to take this vaccine. I mean, it is really, I don't know, even if, you know, people are not where we are at now with our views on this. I absolutely, the more time goes by, when I first started referring to this vaccine as a mark of the beast, you know, I mean, I was just kind of like, you know, it seems that way to me. But the longer this drags on and the more coercive they're getting about it, the more convinced of that I am. I don't know. You know, you don't have to be a Christian believer. Look, if you're just not a Christian believer, you have to look at the way that they're really so determined to get people to take this and not be creeped out. This has got to be, you know, making your spidey sense tingle or whatever the hell you want to say. Your sixth sense. I mean, this is God. There's something wrong here. Look, that instinct, that voice you hear, that feeling inside that says something's wrong here. You gotta listen to that. That's your instinct. You know, you don't always register everything on your conscious mind. Sometimes your subconscious is, and your subconscious is sitting there telling you, look, it doesn't matter how many quote unquote experts they put on TV. Something's wrong here. Something doesn't add up. As I've been saying for a while, you know, they put all these carrots out here. They had lotteries. They'd enter you to win $1 million if you'd get this shot. Well, now, you know, the carrots are starting to wind down. They're getting bigger and bigger sticks. They're a mandate, just as we said. This is not, I don't know who listened to Biden's speech and was actually surprised by this. I guess some people's reaction, they're like, shocked. Biden's saying that, you know, businesses, if they have 100 employees, are going to have to force people, they're going to force people, their employees, to take the vaccine. I can't believe this is happening. I mean, where do you think this was headed all this time? You look at the trajectory. Where the hell do people think this was going with this? Do people still think that at some point they're going to come out and say COVID's over, we're going back to normal? Who can think that now at this point? Remember, this all started off with 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Everybody's going to get sick, but we just don't want the hospitals to get overrun. Remember how reasonable that sounded? And here we are today. Now it's just we're going to eliminate viruses to where they don't exist anymore, which is retarded and completely. It's like a war on terror. It's an objective that is intentionally set to that can never be met. But now we have Biden coming out, and now they're starting to demonize. Now they're really going to get going with the program of demonizing those who will not go along with the shot. Again, this should set an alarm off in people's minds. This should set something off in the back of your mind and saying something's not right here. I don't know what the big picture point of this vaccine is, but the fact that they are this this determined to get people to take it for something. It's not like, look, we've been in this so-called pandemic for what, year and a half now? A little over a year and a half. If what they're telling you is real, forget what's on the news. You know, you can't trust your local news. You can't trust the network news. They're both bullshit. I watch my local news to get the weather, and all it is the COVID, and they're just regurgitating the same government. Now, oh, look at here. This many people are dying. Look, if this pandemic were a pandemic like they're projecting it, like they're claiming it to be, we are a year and a half into this thing, okay? You should have multiple family members now that you know that are dead because of this virus. If the hysteria that they're promoting is true, a year and a half in, you should be like, man, I done lost my mama, my sister, and two of my aunts have died from this virus. If that was the case, then yes, we are in a serious situation here. It's conspiracy, misinformation. Well, too bad, you've already banned me from every social media platform on the planet. You can't, you know, it's just, if this was real, a year and a half in, look, you have to understand, a real pandemic, what would that mean? We're a year and a half in, you shouldn't have to struggle to know somebody that's died of it. It's bullshit. I don't care what kind of numbers they put out. I don't care what kind of hysteria. I don't care where they go and, you know, run their, how many times they run the file footage of people in ICU. File footage of people in ICU, and you're supposed to have this, say, oh my gosh, look, there's people in ICU with COVID. How do you know that? It's just file footage. It's file footage. It's just a generic image they're putting up there to go along with their story. They are telling you a story. Nothing says their story has to be true. They're just giving you a news story. We're a year and a half in. If you don't know multiple people that have died from, not died with it, not, oh, he had a heart attack at 88 years old and died, and he was tested positive for COVID. That ain't dying of COVID. You're 88 years old. You're going to die of something at 88 years old, more than likely. You've already gone over the estimated average lifespan. But now the sticks are coming out. The sticks are coming out. They're going to get more coercive, and it's going to get more and more coercive. The vaccine passport thing is coming. There ain't no need to be in denial about that shit. They're rolling it out worldwide. Isn't it a coincidence? All through the West, they're worldwide through the West. They're rolling these vaccine passports out. Roll them out here, roll them out there. Boris Johnson in Britain said, oh, wait, no way. No way we're doing vaccine passports. And look, like 3 weeks later, oh, we're doing vaccine passports. Sorry, blokes. What's worse, Clown World or Sharia law? I can tell you Sharia law ain't going to make me stay in the house. They ain't going to force me to take a shot. Clown World. They're going to get more coercive, and you need to be prepared for that. Like I said before, when this started, I first started referring to it as a mark of the beast. I was just kind of like, you know, look at what they're saying. You know, they're kind of, the way they're headed with this is you're not going to be able to buy or sell or even work unless you comply, unless you submit to something that is obviously a lie. And understand this, it's supposed to be a lie. You're supposed to notice. People are like, man, they're not very good at this. It's obviously bullshit. And you don't understand, that's the point. If you know it's bullshit and then go along with it anyway, that is ultimate submission. From a Christian perspective, it is bowing down to the image of the beast. You know it's a lie. You're supposed to know. Why aren't they doing a better job of covering this up? Because you're supposed to know it's bullshit. That's makes it ultimate. It's not really submission if you really believe this shit wholeheartedly and you're going along because you think it's going to be keeping you safe. And I don't know how many people really believe. I mean, you have people that claim to really believe that, but I'm wondering how much of that is just they're in denial. They don't want to believe that they're just blatantly submitting to be trampled all over by this wicked and corrupt system. They're just trampled all over. They don't want to admit that they're laying there on the ground, licking the feet of their masters. They don't want to admit that. So they say, oh, no, no, I believe the COVID is absolutely real. Because to deny that with everything they've submitted to thus far is to admit that they're groveling and licking the boots of their oppressors. It's like the coward will always claim he's being brave somehow. I'm really being brave. Which brings us to the next thing. With Biden's announcements of all his mandates, we've had multiple Republicans say, it is time to resist. Really? We're going to resist. We're going to stand up. We're the people are not going to take this. We are going to resist. And everybody's excited. Clap. Slowly. Do y'all believe that shit? I have faith in you, the audience. So when I say y'all, I'm just talking to the world. Do y'all believe this shit? Do I have to spell? I guess I have to spell this shit out. I got to spell this out because apparently there's people out here in the world that are going to believe this shit. The Republicans, our Republicans have said enough. We have found our spine. This is a road too far. It is time to resist. All these Republican politicians, we will resist. Sounds so brave. Let me tell you what their resistance will be. They're going to take it to court, and the court will say, nope, Biden can do whatever the hell he wants, and that'll be it. And they'll be like, well, we tried to resist. We tried to resist. We went, we took it all the way up the court system. Darn it. The court system says he can do whatever he wants. I believe it's unconstitutional, but we must obey the courts. That is how this stupid democracy system works. You go and the people vote. They tell you, oh, it's the people have a say. But you ever notice that the people don't really get a say? Nobody voted for Afghanistan war. Nobody voted for the Iraq war. Everything always goes in one direction. I always remember back before the gay anal agenda went full on global homo mode. And they had a vote in California. That's like global homo central on the West Coast. California. In California, they can put these propositions on the ballot and make them basically law. The people. A power to the people. And they put a proposition on the books. They put a proposition to the vote against gay marriage. And the people of California voted. And they voted no gay marriage in California. But darn it. No, your democracy doesn't count. The courts came in and said, you can't do that. You just can't. The court is the ultimate check and balance, but it isn't checks and balances against the government, against the regime. If you think the court serves the purpose of, you know, keeping the rest of the branches of government, their power in check, you're absolutely wrong. It's about keeping you in check. You see, this way the politicians can pretend to go along. They can pretend to resist. But then the court comes in and says, sorry, you may think it's unconstitutional, but look here. We found a magic clause in the Constitution that applies here, and they can force you to take the experimental vaccine and or lose your job or not to be able to go to the grocery store or not be able to go to the restaurant or not be able to go to the bar or not be able to go to church or not be able to leave your freaking house. We found it's there in the Constitution. Well, the court said so, and they're the ultimate arbitrators of truth. That is Republican resistance. Don't get excited because Republican politicians are trying to run in front of this now and score points. The courts will do what the regime wants the courts to do. And obviously the regime is going with these mask mandates or with the vaccine mandates, rather. We're way beyond masks now. Vaccine mandates, vaccine passports. You're not going to be able to get a job without the vaccine. This is where the regime is going with this. It's obvious the courts aren't ruling the other way. That's not how this system works. It is a system by the people for the people. It's just that you're not the people. You're the livestock. Republican politicians, we're going to resist. They're going to go to the courts and the courts will do. And then they'll say, oh, well, we tried. We tried to resist. You need to get the vaccine anyway. These same Republicans that are running around now talking about resisting this. If you look, they're the same Republicans that have been running around talking about you need to get the vaccine. Our own governor here in Texas, Abbott, they've been making a big deal trying to portray him as like standing up to this bullshit. And he's not. Oh, well, they're having all these court battles because Governor Abbott said, you know, he banned mask mandates. Oh, wow, he's standing up to this lunacy. No, he's not, because he turns around and says, masks don't work. What we need is everybody to take the vaccine. You see, it all keeps working in the same direction. The fake opposition is so critical to the furthering of the agenda. They're going to go to court. And when the court says that'll be the end of any resistance, they'll just do whatever. They'll do whatever they're told. They'll tell you then, well, we tried. You need to vote for more Republicans. We'll get better judges in there. Then someday, next time, someday, we'll maybe do something. Just like they've been. They never do anything. Yes, resist. Resist this. Look, this isn't hard. This isn't hard. Resistance. Oh my gosh, what do you say? Are you calling for an armed revolution? No. Resistance is simple. Just don't comply. Just don't do it. If your job says, look, either take the vaccine or you're fired. Get together with everybody in the job and make them fire you. Just everybody refused to do it. What are they going to do? Close down? Hey, seriously. Call their bluff. Most of these companies are bluffing, by the way, with this bullshit. They think that everybody will just go along with it. You know, they had the big thing here a couple months back. I think it was a hospital in Houston. They had a lawsuit because they told all their employees, you got to get the vax. And the employees are like, bullshit, we ain't taking that. And they went to court. And oh, shockingly, the court said they can do that. They can force you to take the vax. What an amazing thing. The courts magically, once again, ruled in favor of the regime. What the regime wants, the regime gets. But now the hospitals are crying about, we don't have any help. We don't have enough. We're short of staff. Of course, they're trying to justify this with, because they're burned out. There are nurses and doctors and all our hospital staff. They're just so burned out from all the COVID cases because of the unvaccinated. No, they're not. They're short staff because people said, take your vaccine and shove it up your ass. Call their bluff. You resist by not complying. It doesn't. This is the most effective thing you can do. I mean that. If 200 people go out there and protest against this thing, they don't give a shit. But if 30% of the population absolutely positively refuses to comply, heaven help us, let's give us 50% of the population just simply refuses to comply, then that poses a serious problem for this agenda. Whatever the hell, however the hell this vaccine fits into the agenda, that poses a problem. If you've got millions of people that just simply, I'm not doing that shit. Want to fire me? Fire me. Sure, go ahead. This is where your strength is. Yeah, I don't, people get to feel it, and this is why people should limit their intake of media consumption, because you will get gaslit. They want you to feel powerless. If you're sitting there listening to the show and you're feeling powerless, like, man, doesn't matter what, they just continue to forward the agenda. Look, if the Taliban felt that way, you know, they wouldn't be sitting there up in the palace right now. You know, you are not powerless. This is your strength. Look, if they get down to only, if they get down to only, say, 10,000 people who are refusing to comply, yeah, those 10,000 people, their asses are going into a camp. But half the population, they ain't got a camp big enough. That poses a real problem. And I think this is why you see this sense of urgency, because according to their computer models or whatever thought they had on this, at this stage of this planned out thing, this whole thing is planned out. This isn't happening at random. At this stage of the plan, something like 90% of the people are supposed to have already taken the vaccine by now. I think they overestimated the effectiveness of their media message. I think they had undermined their own credibility far more than they thought they did, because they live in a bubble. I was just sure that by now more people were going along. Now they're starting to look desperate. Yeah, they're getting more coercive. They're getting more aggressive about it and everything. But that reeks to me of desperation. Coming out and admonishing the people and basically threatening them now. You're going to be unpersoned. You're going to be unpersoned now. Oh, you're going to be unpersoned. You're not going to be able to even work. You're going to lose everything if you don't submit, if you don't comply. That reeks of desperation to me. If things were rolling along their way and everything was clicking along right on schedule, they wouldn't have to get this way about this. If they were down to like 10,000 people that were left that were refusing to comply, they just can put you in a camp. say they're doing it for public health or safety or whatever the hell justification. Speaking of justification, I was thinking about this morning for starting the show. You know, I'm old enough. I remember all the bullshit. 9/11. This is 9/11. In fact, actually, I'm recording this on Saturday. I guess today, let me look here at the date. It is 9/11. The day the Mossad took down, the terrorists took down the Twin Towers. Is the day. We'll never forget 9/11. Look, I lived through all that shit. And I remember at the time, all of this crap they put in place. It fits into the agenda, by the way. All of this they put into place. The Patriot Act. When everybody gave up their right to not be searched without probable cause just because they want to fly somewhere. When everybody gave up that right. Even back then, I was nowhere near politically aware that I am now. I was still trying to figure shit out like everybody else. But even at that time, I was like, look, y'all are giving up the right. If they can search you without probable cause because you want to get on an airplane, who's to say they can't do that any other time that they want to? You really got to understand, this all fits into a big picture. Rewind further back. The war on drugs, when they made it legal that they could just simply seize your property, claim you got that property because drugs, and it was up to you. The burden of proof was on you to prove that you didn't get that property from drug money. You didn't even have to find drugs on you. You'd be driving down the interstate in Mississippi, some podunk cop can pull you over, say, well, this is a nice Cadillac Escalade you got there, Tyrone. How the hell did you buy that? Man, I'd be buying this. I got the straight up job. No. How much cash you got? We're going to search you here. How much cash? Oh, you got $10,000 worth of cash, Tyrone. Where a boy like you get $10,000 worth of cash? Got to be from drugs. We're seizing your Escalade and your $10,000. Get your black ass on down the road. I say it this way. You're sitting here wondering, why is he saying it that way? Because if it was happening to Tyrone, no one gives a shit. They took his Escalade and his $10,000 worth of cash, and now it's up to him to prove he didn't get it from drugs. Whether he did or not should be irrelevant. He paid for it. Is it his cash? Did he pay for the Escalade? Doesn't matter where the money came from. If he paid for it, it's his property. If we lived under the rule of law that we've always had. If you want to convict Tyrone of dealing drugs, catch him dealing drugs and convict him. But they don't have to do that because they just take his shit. If he arrests a Tyrone for dealing drugs and put him in prison, when his ass gets out of prison, that Escalade should be sitting out in his driveway because he paid for it. It's his property. But everybody said, no, it's okay. War on drugs. Which apparently is another war that the U.S. can't win. Ow! Gave up that right at that time. I was basically such a young man, you could call me a kid if you wanted to. I was looking at that and going, this is a really shitty idea. Now they're claiming to have the right to just seize your property. You got whole towns on these interstates, and that's their income. That town wouldn't even exist, except they have this massive police force that goes up and down the interstates, pulls people over and claims their vehicles, their property, their cash, whatever the hell, are from drugs. And they just take the stuff. If you're rolling in a $20,000 car, Escalade, so you got used Escalades, toward 20 grand. Podunk cop takes your Escalade, and you're like, well, that's bullshit. I work hard for that. That's mine. Well, now you got to prove that it's not from drugs. Well, you don't live there. You live out of state. By the time you fight it, it's going to cost more than, and that's what a lawyer will tell you. You go back home, wherever the hell you live, and you go to a lawyer, say, how do I fight this? And the lawyer says, look, by the time you pay me, and by the time you fight this out of state, you're going to spend more than the $20,000 the Escalade is worth. And that's what they bank on. They're just robbers with a badge. They're just stealing your shit. And everybody said, oh, fine, because war on drugs. When you surrender your rights because they have an excuse, you surrender all of them. Oh, well, they have the right to do that because, yeah, but normally, no, but we're in a war on drugs. They had the right to search me without probable cause. They have a right to do these things because war on terror. There's an excuse now. Now, people are shocked, I tell you, that they're taking these rights, but they have an excuse. You see, there's a virus. And they say, this isn't about freedom. But yes, it is. It's about the virus. That's just an excuse. But you see, that's not a new thing. Talking about the Patriot Act and all this, I think about when all this was passed. Remember when it got revealed, they were like torturing. They were torturing people and humiliating them in Iraq, I believe it was, you know, in these dark prisons. How many people mouthed off, well, I hope they send all these Muslims to Guantanamo Bay. I remember when the waterboarding thing kind of was an issue. And I remember one day, I don't even remember why it was on. Maybe I was somewhere and it was just on. But Rush Limbaugh was talking about, you know, basically he was making waterboarding out. It's no big deal. You can't even call it torture. He's making it sound like, you know, when you're washing your hair in the shower or some shit, you know, it's like you got your face wet in the shower. It is no big deal. I don't even know why they're whining and crying about that. Let's see when your ass is being waterboarded because you refuse to go along with the agenda, when you refuse to get the vaccine and they're waterboarding your ass. How many of these people who are celebrating, hey, we're going to get these Muslims. Throw more of the brown desert people in the Guantanamo Bay and torture their asses. Good. That's what they get for working to take down our towers or whatever the hell. And by the way, you know, people sitting there going, oh, why are you on? Look, I ain't got no problem with them people. I just don't want them in my country. That's the problem. You know, I'm not. You know, being inconsistent here. The only problem I have with brown desert people is they need to be in their brown desert countries. After that, I don't care. I say good on the Taliban. Run your country the way you want to. That's their right. It's human beings on this earth. The problem comes in the multiculturalism. The problem comes when you bring them all into our countries. And then all of a sudden, they want to live their way of life like back in their country. And you are inevitably going to have conflict. That's a problem. I don't hate these people. I don't want to see the brown desert people in the Guantanamo Bay being tortured. I don't think that's right. But you see, if it's somebody else, people are a lot more likely to give up rights if they think it's only the rights of other people being violated, rights of others. Just got to go along. They got an excuse. There's a war on drug. There's a war on terror. There's a war on the virus. You notice how they beat it into the people's psyche that if we call it a war, then, hey, that's a special circumstance and everybody has to go along with it. But it isn't a real war. They're just calling it that. This invisible enemy, he's deadly. He stalks us. He is coronavirus. This virus, it's merciless. We're a year and a half into the virus's merciless campaign, and I would venture to say that the vast majority of people know absolutely nobody that's actually died from the virus. But it's deadly, I tell you. Here, look at this file footage. Look at that file footage. Somebody's in the ICU on a ventilator, see? Let's do this interview. This guy says he's about to die, and he wouldn't be about to die if he would have got the vaccine. We're interviewing a doctor. We're doing this doctor says they have all these patients said they wish they're begging for the vaccine. But I have to tell them it's too late. It's too much bullshit. I can't deal with it. We're supposed to believe this? This is bottom tier shit. Resist. If you're going to resist, you're simply not going to comply. Now, for me, that's easy. Because look, if I just thought this was just some kind of government, I don't know. It just kind of some bullshit, you know, just political bullshit. You know, as if whatever. Just weigh it. Just weigh if it's worth, you know, pushing back against. As a Christian believer, I do believe now, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this is a mark of the beast. As a Christian believer, I am not going to sell my soul in order to, for what? More convenience in life? So I can work a shitty job somewhere, which basically I can't do anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I'm not. As a Christian believer, me personally, I'm not preaching this to all of you. I'm telling you my point of view for me personally. for me. I'm not selling my soul for this shit. I'm not going to bow down before the altar of the beast. I'm not going to worship them. I'm not going to worship their satanic imagery, their satanic message they're putting out. This is for me, my personal view. I'm not going to do that. And we're told in our Bibles, you know, don't fear people, that the worst they can do is kill you. But then after that, they can't do anything. Fear the Lord, who after you die can cast you into hell. I'm not going to hell for them. They can demand to be worshipped, their agenda, their lie. They can be demand that you bow down and worship before them. All they want to. I'm not going to. They're going to. I have set that in my mind, and everybody else needs to decide for themselves. I'm not preaching that to y'all. But you got to decide really how far you're willing to stand with this. Because here's the thing. They're going to get worse. They're going to get more coercive. They're going to get more violent. They're going to get more threatening. And as they do so, they're going to whittle that number down. More, you know, people right now, they're like, I ain't doing this shit. If it gets, like early on, yeah, people said, I ain't doing that shit. And then they're like, you can go on a cruise if you do it. Okay. They do it. Whittle it down. I ain't doing that shit. We'll enter you into a drawing for $1 million. Jab me up. Whittle. Whittle some more off. It's pointless if you put up with all the hassle, the bullshit, if you wind up giving in. You know what I'm saying? If you go in, they're going to get more coercive and threatening and violent. They're going to threaten, make your life miserable over this thing. If you're going to give in to it anyway, do it now. I mean, really, go take it. You might, because there's no point in putting up with all of the stuff leading up to that. And then when it gets really bad, then you cave. You could have just skipped all the bad shit before. I mean, it doesn't mean there won't be any bad shit. The side effects of whatever the overall agenda of this is going to be very bad. But I don't think they have your best interest in mind in the way they're so feverishly promoting this. But everybody needs to be setting in their mind now. I mean, lots of people right now are mouthing off about resisting, and they're not going to resist in the end. Everybody's got to really decide, I mean, how far are you willing to go? You really, if they get it to the point to where, you know, you basically can't go anywhere, do anything unless you submit. I mean, are you realistically going to be able to resist that? You know, have you located yourself in a community that isn't going to go along with that? Are you in a position, do you know people that also aren't going to comply, where you can support one another in not complying? I mean, it's time to start thinking, if you haven't already, it's time to start thinking about this very seriously. Because the trajectory they're on, the path they're taking is, I mean, it's obvious. They're not going the other direction. At any point, are they going in the other direction with this? They haven't given back the rights they've taken away in the name of the war on terror. They haven't given back any of the rights they took away under the excuse of the war on drugs. And they're not walking back any of your rights now under the excuse of there's a virus. The courts aren't going to save you. The Republicans aren't going to save you. But you do have the power to resist. Just simply do not comply. You don't have to make a show of it. You don't have to make a stink about it. You don't have to show up to a protest. You haven't got to issue threats at anybody. You ain't got to go online and announce it. Just simply do. You can do it as quietly as you want to. You can refuse to comply and not tell anybody. But it's still, you're resisting by simply not complying. And the thing is, as you refuse to comply, this will give courage to others. You see, people take courage. Mobs become a powerful thing for a reason. You think about it, you get a mob of 100 people, you know, screaming and doing vandalism and getting out of hand. You get a mob. I'm not talking about a legit protest. I'm talking about a mob. You get a violent mob burning shit and tipping cars over. Why do you think that is? Because in the mob of 100 people, They feel powerful. Yeah, they're surrounded by other people of the same mindset, and the mob takes on a single mentality because people feel strong. They're in a group. They're encouraged. If you point it out to them, well, you know, they could muster enough cops to come in here and shoot your asses or beat you down with batons or whatever the hell they want to do. I mean, you're only 100 people. You're not a massive force. It doesn't register. They just feel encouraged by that energy around them. Likewise, you know, the more people see others resisting, the more they're going to feel stress. If they feel alone, it's very, very difficult to stand up and resist. But the more they see other people resisting, the more they see other people saying, I'm not going to comply. I don't care what the courts say. Wake me up, the first Republican politician that stands up talking, mouthing off about resistance. And I will give credit where due. The first Republican politician that stands up and says, I don't give a shit what the court says. The first governor that says, when the court inevitably, and they will, when the court inevitably rules and says that the government can do whatever the hell they want to as far as mandating this vaccine, the first governor that stands up and says, well, the court's made their ruling, let's see them enforce it. We don't give a shit what the court says. We're not doing it. Then credit where it's due. I will stand up and applaud. But until then, it's all just lip service. You simply don't comply. People be talking about not complying now because you've got lots of people talking about not complying. But when all the Republicans, all the pundits that are allowed still on social media, these conservative pundits that haven't been banned yet, when the court inevitably rules that the government can do whatever the hell they want to, and those people are going to all just, they're going to fall off. They can say, well, we tried. Then all of a sudden, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how many people are going to refuse to comply. We're going to see how many people are going to refuse to go along. You have the power. You simply don't do it. You simply don't do it. And that is how you resist. We got to get into the Christian specific, the sermon this week. So you know what to do. Thank you once again, by the way, all of those of you who financially support the show. Really do appreciate it. It means a lot to me. And it's always good to hear from all of you. So you know what to do. Now, let's get in there, fill those pews. It's this time for this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as we head off into this week's Christian-specific message, let's flip open our Bibles. We're going to look at the 49th Psalm. It's not, you know, I try not to read too long this stuff because it's hard to follow along. It's hard to pay attention. It's hard not to fall asleep. So, but it's not too long. I think I was debating whether just to read parts of it, but it's short enough. I think we can just read the whole thing, and then we'll get into our Christian-specific, our sermon-like thoughts this week. So we're looking at the 49th Psalm. Hear this, all ye people, give ye all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I'll incline mine ear to a parable. I'll open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should live forever and not see corruption. And he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their hands after their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well for thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. The number one only guaranteed thing in this life is that we're all going to die. That is, everybody gets a turn in the box. That is the one thing that is an absolute certainty in this life. Now, there's two ways to approach this inevitable conclusion. Because whether you're a Christian believer or not, the inevitability of the grave remains the same. It cannot be denied. Now, as Christian believers, we believe that this life is to prepare us for the life to come. We are forged. We get frustrated. We hate it that we struggle and we deal with these things and we're tempted by things. And life is this constant struggle, and it can be really so tiring, but we're being forged. We believe that we are being forged for the life to come. Understand, we have work to do in the life to come. You're not taking an eternal vacation. There will be work to do. And we're told in our Bibles that we will have authority. We'll have dominion over angels. I believe this comes back to the temptation of the angels that were led astray, that followed Satan. That's why we'll have dominion over them. How could those angels be led astray? I mean, they were in the kingdom of God. They were in the presence of the eternal. They were in the presence of God. They were in the realm of the eternal. And yet they were weak. They were weak and they fell away. They were tempted and they listened to the deceptions of Satan and followed him in rebellion. It's one of the things I remember back, it's been some years ago. It was a real fad. You know, it's like people were basically worshiping angels. Everything was angels, 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 angels. People were on and on about angels. But as Christian believers, we should reject this. Angels are but servants of God. And after we are done being forged here in this life, we'll have authority. Who's a boss of a job and yet they run around like kissing up to their subordinates? Who does that? Nobody does that. You have to understand, as a Christian believer, you'll have dominion over the angels. You have authority over the angels. Again, why? Because we're forged, we're tried. You have to understand, no matter how much you get frustrated, no matter how much you struggle with whatever it is you deal with in your life and the struggles you go through against the things that try to lead you away from your faith and lead you away from your relationship with Jesus, no matter how much you struggle with those things, you are getting stronger. It may not seem like it, because it may seem like you're just beating your head against the wall. You try to do better, you fall back. You try to do better, you fall back. It's just like a circle. But you have to understand, when you leave this life, none of those things are going with you. These temptations of the flesh, whatever it is you deal with in your life that tries to separate you from the Lord, you don't take those things with you when you pass into this next life. Now, if you hold fast to your faith, if you're able to hold fast to your belief and your loyalty to God, with all of that burdened around you, that chain around your neck, imagine going to the eternal realm and you don't have to deal with that anymore. You see, you're not going to fall to Satan's trickery. You're not going to fall to Satan's temptations because you've already been through the fire. You've already been tested. You've already been tried. The angels, see, I believe that was their fault, their weakness. They hadn't been tried. They were there. They were there in the eternal realm. They've always been in the eternal realm. They don't know any different. And yet they could be tempted. They could be led astray, even being in the presence of the Lord in the spirit realm, in the eternal realm. Yet they were able to be led astray. So yet we are forged. We are strengthened. We've been through the fire. We've been through the training. We have shown our loyalty. We have proved. If you were going to trust somebody, if you were, say, you had authority in an army and you had men under your command, who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the men who have seen battle, who have shown their mettle, who have held fast, who have proven themselves in combat? Are you going to trust them more? Or are you going to trust these guys that have never, ever seen combat? They've just simply lived a life of luxury, and now all of a sudden they're thrown into the meat grinder. You don't know how those guys are going to hold. They might hold. They might fall away. But the guys you're ultimately going to trust are the ones who have proven themselves, the ones who have been through the battle. Now, this is our view as Christian believers. Essentially, this life is just training. This life is just leading up to the big thing. This is not the big thing. Now, this seems crazy to the unbeliever, because the other view of this, again, whether you're a believer or not, everybody gets a turn in the box. We deny that. And you'll have people that will speak lightly of death, you know, and be like, I don't care about dying. Everybody says that shit until they're facing the box. Virtually everybody. I guess not every single buddy, because there's people that kill themselves. But for the most part, everybody speaks lightly of death until they're told that the grave is approaching fast. It's easy to look lightly upon death as long as you think that it's someday way off. When you know that it is inevitable that you go in the box, you tell yourself that's always way off. It's always way off. It's easier to do when you're a young man. When you're a young man, you can easily convince yourself you don't need to even think about death because it's way off. Yet I look back on my life and more than a few people I knew growing up with are long dead now. Surely these people as well thought that death was way off. Don't need to think about that. That's something that'll happen someday. You know, we'll deal with that when it gets here. But we don't know when it gets here. Death is inevitable. Now, the other view, we know our view as Christian believers pertaining to this matter. But what about the unbeliever? For the unbeliever, it's the opposite. This is all we get. We get this one run. This life is a one-time thing. You better do everything you can. Now, don't confuse this with living life to the fullest. I'm not one of these Christian believers that thinks that God's purpose in our lives is for us to be freaking miserable every minute of the day. Like you're somehow sinning if you're enjoying your life, if you experience as many things as you can. I'm one of those people. I want to experience everything I can. I want to see new things. I want to do new things. I want to try new things. Now, there's nothing sinful about that. You're given this life. You make the most of it. God isn't going to be upset with you because you're somehow enjoying life. You're supposed to be miserable and waiting for the kingdom of God. He didn't want a bunch of miserable people in his kingdom. being miserable is not really a thing for the eternal realm. It's not supposed to be your attitude either. But what I'm talking about here is this view that essentially, since there is nothing after this, then, this is all you get. So you don't need to worry about sin. You don't need to consider the ways of the Lord. You don't need, because that's all superstition. That's all just made up. Just do whatever you can now, whatever you want to jump off into, immerse yourself in, no matter how sinful or wicked. And they realize not that this is satanic in itself, which again is proof of the spiritual nature of these things. One thing I always find amazing about people that, they're true hardcore, atheists. You'll wind up talking to these people online or whatever, and they're, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in any of this nonsense. You're spaghetti monster in the sky and sky fairies or whatever crap they try to sling. And then these same people turn around and talk about things such as moral concepts. You will ask them, you say, oh, okay, so you don't believe in any of these things that are laid out in God's law. You don't believe in any of this. That's right. I don't believe. That's just made up. It's just made up. That exists. All you get is this life here. Okay. So, is it wrong to molest children? Well, yeah, of course it's wrong to molest children. What are you, some kind of sicko? Why would you even ask that? But why is it wrong? If all that exists in this life is whatever you can enjoy of yourself, if somebody enjoys molesting children, why is that a wrong thing to do? Why is it wrong to steal? Why is it wrong to murder? And they will dance all around and try to project some sort of, well, it's just somehow wrong. You cannot reject the standard God has given of what is right and wrong and then turn around and say, oh, well, yes, it exists because I say it exists. All morality, if what God has given, the natural order, God's laws, God's system does not exist because you reject that God exists at all. You cannot then turn around and claim those standards for your own. You understand? There can be no right and wrong. And this is the contradictory view of the average atheist Spurg. You cannot have right and wrong and no God. You cannot have good and evil and there is no God and no Satan. You understand? You just have what you do. And they will justify and mumble around and say these things and usually wind up insulting you. Ha ha, well, your belief in God is the only thing that's keeping you from going out and molesting children. Because they want to deflect from the contradiction in their worldview. Again, if this life is just what you can milk out of it because there's nothing afterwards, there's just eternal darkness, there's just darkness. You just cease to exist, that's the end of it, that's it. Then there is no right or wrong. There's just whatever you feel like doing. Which, of course, we look at our society, which is collapsing upon itself. We are in a collapsing society. The people are spiraling off into more and more degeneracy, more and more decadence. There's more and more just filth and sin. And that's the inevitable conclusion. If people reject God, if they reject God's morality, you cannot then turn around and claim to uphold God's morality. It's not wrong to murder somebody if you feel like doing it. I mean, yeah, you might get punished by the law, but there's nothing morally wrong about it if you reject God's law. If this is just simply this life, it's just what you get out of it because there's nothing after that, then there is no right or wrong. You can't say there is because you're just saying, well, it's right or wrong because I think it is. But you're just one person. There's no overriding rule. It's just your personal view. You might think it's wrong to murder somebody. But if the guy next to you thinks it's A-okay and there is no standard being set by a higher authority, then there's nothing to say that your view that murder is wrong is superior to the guy next to you's view who thinks murder is right as long as you can gain something from it. You cannot reject God's morality and then embrace it and say, oh, well, it's my own. It's just a fact of society. Society has created this morality, but that is bullshit because society does not exist. Society exists simply as a collaboration, a group of people, I guess, if you want to classify it as something. But it's just society is people. And if the people are just these hyper-individualized cells that just entities, these hyper-individualized entities, that all that matters is what they want to do. All that matters is what they can get out of this life because there's nothing afterwards anyway. Then there is no morality. There is no right or wrong. Now, to get back on point, because believe it or not, that wasn't actually even the point, but I think it was a pretty good point to make. It was a good, healthy tangent to get off on. You see, the thing is, the non-believer will look at our view and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong and all of this you're struggling with and you're working towards and you think you're going to get? See, they don't understand. I'm going to get off on another tangent. They don't understand things outside of the concept. This is how bound to the world people can become. They don't understand the concept of doing something not because you're motivated, you're going to get something out of it. We don't believe what we believe. We don't seek the Lord because we think at the end of the day, we're going to get something out of it. You know, like we're going to get some money. We're going to get a mansion. We got that looked in the Bible and he talks about many rooms in God's mansion. I'm going to have me a mansion. I'm going to finally have everything I want. I'm going to have riches just like the rich people in this world. Only it'll be me, the kingdom of God. And I've got gold and I'm wealthy and I don't have to worry about anything. You are bound by the world if that's your attitude. I don't understand the concept of actually loving the truth. Actually loving the Lord in spite of our own weaknesses, in spite of our own fleshly things that we deal with in this life. We love the Lord. We do this because we love God. We do this because we love what is right. We're not doing it because somebody's going to pay us at the end of the day. It's a simplistic and childish way to be. But you see, these people can't look beyond, well, what are you going to get out of it? This is how corrupted and caught up by the world they are. What if you're wrong? You spent your whole life doing this God thing, is seeing it as God, and thinking you're going to get something out of it at the end of the day. What if you're wrong? You die and you wasted your life. There's nothing about Christianity. It's about wasting your life. I mean, what else is there? I mean, what else besides if you were not following the Lord, what would you be doing? Well, wallowing off in every sort of sexual degeneracy like so much of the world is now doing. I mean, really, would your life be worse off, or better off, rather, for doing that? What are these people even talking about? Well, you're just missing out. Missing out on what? Really, as Christian believers, what are we missing out on by being believers versus those who don't believe and just follow after this world? What are we missing on? Oh, you're just missing. You're missing out. You could be doing what? Man on man anal. I mean, what are we missing out on? I look at the people who chase after this world. They don't look real happy. They don't look like, oh, man. I mean, we're not sitting over here looking at them going, golly, I wish we'd just do like them. They're so happy. Man, let's shoot up some more heroin. Golly, let's just destroy our bodies. We can die sooner and enter the blackness of nothingness sooner. So much of the Bible gives us these standards of God because we'll live longer. It's not like that God wants us to be miserable. It says in various places, different places in the Bible, say, if you do these things, if you follow these laws, you'll live a long life. Things will go better for you. You stay in the natural order of things and things are going to go better for you. You have a better life here. God doesn't want us to be miserable here. Well, you will have a better life here as well as the kingdom of God. Now, these same people who say, well, that doesn't make any sense. You don't know. You're doing all these things. You're giving so much up. We're not giving anything up. That's a lie from Satan that they bought hook, line, and sinker. You're giving so much up. You could be just doing whatever the hell you want to and not worrying about God. What that looks like, I don't know. I've yet to see an atheist Spurg who's living the high life that I really wish my life was like that. But they will say, why? Why? And yet these same people, if you were to ask them, what do you think of the notion of saving up for retirement? Is this wise or is it foolish? And most would probably tell, well, of course you need to save up for retirement. You'd be too old to work someday. You need to save up. It's a wise move. Yeah, that's why you ought to save up for retirement. If you're a retirement fund, if you're a pension. But how is this view any different? This brings us back full circle. We know not when the box comes for us. We don't know when our time to go in the box is. Imagine skimping and saving your entire life for retirement. That's the only thing. You don't enjoy anything else in your life because you don't give a shit about that. You're just saving for retirement. You're a miser. You're saving every penny. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to enjoy anything that comes around. Anything that costs a nickel, you're not going to spend it because that money could be money going into retirement. Then you're going to retire someday. And then a week before your retirement, you die. Where's that money going to go that you hoarded and saved, that enjoyment you passed out? You hoarded and saved your whole life. Just as we just read, others will enjoy that wealth. That money will go to somebody and they'll get something out of it. You ain't going to get a damn thing. So how can you say that saving for retirement is wise? Because you might die before you retire. Hell, just eat, drink, be merry, spend every penny on cocaine and hookers. You do heroin, do drugs. You just die sooner and then you don't have to worry about retirement. Enjoy life before you go to just the blackness of nothingness or whatever the hell. The point is, they can make sense of the idea of saving for retirement that you don't know you'll ever even see. Because you could die beforehand. Any number of things could happen. They can understand the concept. They will acknowledge the wisdom of saving for retirement. Yet, they refuse to acknowledge the wisdom of saving up for eternity. They have this misconception that we're miserable. Maybe that's our fault to a certain extent, you know? Maybe as Christian believers, we project that we're miserable all the time. If that's the case, we should stop doing that. There's nothing. Again, Satan tempts us and people say, well, you could be enjoying life so much more if you weren't burdened down by this God business. But really, if you start to internalize that, maybe you've started internalizing, stop for a minute and ask yourself, what would you be doing if you were not seeking the Lord? If you were not trying to live the best life you can live for God? What exactly would you be doing different than what you're doing now? And would that make this life that you have right now any better? If you were doing the things that Satan is tempting you to go do, would your life in any substantial way be better than what it is now? everything from Satan is a lie. He is a liar and a murderer. You have to understand, there is no truth. He might throw a few facts at you, but it's always going to be a lie. He could throw facts, but it's a lie. It's a misconception. It's like people that throw you statistics, you know, they're completely misleading. They take a little snippet and say, see, I got this statistic that shows it. Well, yeah, but if you're leaving a bunch of stuff out, if you look at the total sum of what we should be looking at, you're lying to me. You know, this one little statistic is correct, but when viewed in the context of all of the other statistics, you're bullshitting me here. Satan is a liar, is incapable of truth. He'll sit there and tell you that, oh, you're missing out. But what are you missing out? Be real with yourself. What exactly are you missing out on? As we get ready to wrap up, if you go back to our comparison, the person saving up for retirement, even though he doesn't know when death is coming, you could die today, you could die tomorrow, you could die a year or a week before your retirement, but you save up for retirement anyway. Why? Well, you have faith. Even a non-believer has to have faith on something. They may refuse to have faith in God, but they're going to have faith in something. They save up for their retirement because they have faith that they're actually going to make it. They're actually going to make it to retirement and to be able to enjoy that. It is a snippet, it is a tiny example of some sort of faith, but it is a sort of faith, as it were. We look forward to the kingdom of God. We love the Lord. We love the truth. We seek him. Even with all of this stuff around, we deal with the same bullshit everybody else is dealing. We don't get a free pass because we have faith that we will see the other side of this. Not that we're going to get something. Not like God's going to pay us off. But because we'll get to see the totality of it. We'll get to see the conclusion of these matters. We love the Lord. We love God's truth. But we only see a little fragment of it. We're clouded up by all this nonsense, all this bullshit in the world around us right now. We'll get to see what it really is. You know, you get praying and you get feeling the Spirit moving in you and you're feeling good. But that is just, that isn't even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the glory of the kingdom of God. We're going to see that. We have faith in it. We have faith that we will see it. And at the end of the day, we're not giving anything up to get there. It's essentially costing us nothing. We're not missing out on all of this crap that the world has indulged itself in. We're not missing out on anything. Instead, we're truly looking forward to the true fulfillment. The fulfillment that doesn't rot away. Not the riches that disappear as soon as you enter the box. We're looking forward to the true wealth. The true wealth that lasts forever. We're going to wrap up on that note. Hopefully you got something out of it. That's always the goal here. Glad you joined us for this week's show. Don't forget, I come on Fridays for a little chat with Sven Longshanks. Always a lot of fun on the Daily Nationalist on Fridays. Don't miss out. Usually, something fun to wrap up the week on. And of course, as you know, we'll be back next Tuesday right here for the Parish of the Patriots.